with champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on, turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
As you know, that music can only mean one thing. The kids return to CBD today. One of the great moments in tweeting history happened this morning, Matt Wilhelm. By the way, the kid fashionably late for his return.
For his own opening.
For his own opening. What a great job by you, by the way. Kudos to you, Gibbs, for what you've done there. So the kid tweets out this morning a pretty fantastic tweet that got people, a lot of people were pretty excited. Did you get an opportunity to see it this morning?
I did not.
For all three of you that wait with bated breath, I make my triumphant return to at CBD today. Get the music ready, Gibbs. Gibbs, you did your part.
Had my stuff done.
You have taken care of your part.
I blew up our intro.
You blew up the intro. We give him his music. He's still not here. But what one of the great moments when you really break this tweet down, it's for all three of you that wait with bated breath, I make my triumphant return to at CBD. Is at CBD our show handle?
Browns underscore daily.
So one might just get interested and click on CBD, at CBD. It is MIT alumna Christy Dennison's personal Twitter that the kid linked his return to. So there's some poor woman out there. It's a very intelligent woman, by the way, an MIT grad who was out there. Gibbs, one more time. Will you hit the music since he's decided to show up now after his grand pre-produced opening for his return to CBD that he doesn't care enough to attend on time?
Listen, college.
He walks in.
Fruit slices and what else?
I got props, folks. I got props.
So the kid comes in with fruit slices, nerds,
and gumballs.
And gumballs.
Gumball Todd didn't come through with the nerd gumballs.
Trying to make your own?
Gumballs and nerds.
So is the reason you're late because you stopped for these things?
No, the reason I'm late, it's six, maybe three factors. A, the college kid that was supposed to be there at 11:30 showed up at 12:05.
Okay.
B, the cop that I sped by at 70 miles an hour in a 50-mile-an-hour zone. Didn't get a ticket, got one of those slow-down looks. Already had Wilhelm out on my contacts on the phone, figuring if I showed him my phone that I know Matt Wilhelm, maybe I get a free Willy.
That's good.
And then,
hey, cop, I know Matt Wilhelm. That's
I was
great.
Going to get it something works. To eat in between meeting the college kid and coming here. Left turn arrow. The person does not turn in front of me. I had to go through a whole cycle of the light. I'm screaming and honking. Turn, turn, turn. They don't turn. So those are the reasons I'm 3 minutes late. I think I did well.
Well, your music's being played again for the return of the kid. It's a big day here, kid.
Yeah, got no headphones.
The kid, I was talking about how you linked in your return tweet to at CBD, which happens to be a nice young lady who attended MIT. Did you know that? Did you ever click through?
I didn't click through. I realized, Andy Sims, Agents and Stars, pointed out to me what I did. that'll be the closest I ever get to MIT. Let's just say that.
That is, yes, that is the closest you will get to MIT. All right, let's go ahead and tee up what we got on tap today, because it is a loaded show, as Gibb likes to say whenever he sends out the show email and there are some guests. It's a loaded show. So this is what we've got. We have got the Friday forecast at 1:45. At 2 o'clock, we've got Kevin A.C., the San Diego Union-Tribune columnist, who is good friends with Wilhelm, to talk about what San Diego is going to do in the draft at number 3.
Yep.
Could be an interesting spot in the draft. 2:30, Brian Baldinger, Baldy from NFL Network. He'll call in. He's also the preseason TV analyst for the Eagles, so he'll talk about the Browns and Eagles trade. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. All right, let's start off before we get into our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day. Kit, you have been gone for forever. Gone but not forgotten.
I got lots of notes because of that.
You were on a sabbatical.
First things first, how's the golf game?
Not good.
Nathan always talks about,
not good,
with you not doing our show, how much time you're spending
practicing. No, that's not true. I've been spending time working. My golf game is in disarray, but it's coming back.
You lead the league in trips to the range.
No, I don't know about that. It's not good. Hopefully it'll be there by the end of the summer.
But your putting is phenomenal, right?
I got a new putter. It's money.
What kind of putter?
It's a Ping with one of those fat grips. I've never tried it before. I highly recommend it. If Dr. Kurt's
Dr. Kurt has one already.
I was just going to recommend that he gets
one. Dr. Kurt already has one.
Beautiful.
I need one because when I have the jumbo grips on all my clubs.
Uh-huh.
And then, again, I have the new TaylorMade driver that I need to get re-gripped prior to starting the season. And I've just never got around to changing my putter grip, but I go down to these like pencil sized grips on my putter. I need to change that.
I'm gonna get a fat grip. Just watching you make all these putts, the kid, it makes me want to get a fat grip. I had the best ball striking round of my life, and I couldn't get it in the hole.
Yes, you had some trouble putting it in the hole, and I had trouble striking the ball. That being said, enough about my golf game. They say,
all right, hold on. Let's start with your reaction to the trade.
Well, the trade was genius. I mean,
you sound like Cam from Canada after one statement.
I'll let you
continue.
Everything they touch turns to gold.
No. It was genius, but we've got to now execute and get the picks.
And hold on. Correct. Before you continue to move on, Dr. Kurt, text me, reverse your hands also, front hand low.
I do that. That
Nate
I do.
Does do that. I appreciate the tip. I need all sorts of tips right now. But what I'll say about the trade is I think if they know that Goff wasn't going to be there. If Goff was going to be there, I would say, as much as I love what they got, I would have rather seen Goff. But
of course, we all would have.
Once that happened, to get that many assets, we have, I think, 12 picks in 22 picks in the next 2 years, by my calculations. And we also, I believe, will trade down again and pick up something else to get the receiver that we want in the mid-teens, or at least that's my
dream scenario. Now that I have come to terms with the fact that Jared Goff won't be a Cleveland Brown, which was hard for me to do. It took a night of some serious self-introspection.
Next time you want a quarterback, you should just not announce it, because you're now 0-2. And I believe that your hyping up of Jared Goff might be the reason he's going number one instead of number two.
I don't believe that, because we could have drafted Teddy Bridgewater.
Jeff Fisher may have been listening and said, I got to get Goff. This Cleveland Browns daily guy has got me sold.
Hey, I turned the Victor Price around. The Victor Price was anti, and now he was pro-Goff, and I got him turned. He finally got on the Goff train.
Who's Victor Price?
One of our listeners who tweets me regularly, who was anti-Goff, and I made him pro-Goff literally the day before the trade came, and then he had to get over it.
If you eat enough fruit slices, you start liking fruit slices.
Fruit slices are solid.
That's
not
true.
I really bought them because
you couldn't give me enough hard-boiled eggs to ever make me like hard-boiled eggs. In fact, I would rather
eat
anything on
eggs.
The planet other than hard-boiled eggs. They're disgusting.
This was my personal tribute. This and the grape nerds.
So all the purple for
Purple Rain.
For Prince.
The best. The
only song I know of.
The best nerd combination is the watermelon and cherry, by the way.
Hold on. What?
It's the only song I know of Prince's, but I do feel.
I think I might be in the same side over here with Kid.
Purple Rain is the only Prince song.
Well,
you
name
know?
Some more, and I'll go. Oh yeah, I know that one too.
Little Red Corvette.
Oh, nah. That's a good one.
Nah.
Party Like It's 1999.
Ooh, I didn't know that was his. Okay, maybe I know.
Oh yeah,
few.
I knew that was his.
I had no
Erotic
idea.
Erotic City.
Okay,
never. Heard
I
of.
Know the same way that I know of movies that I've seen. I can say, oh, I've seen that movie. I might not know the title. I think
sure.
The same can be said for music. Like, I know I can listen to a song, go, I love that song. Tell me who sings it and the name of it, and I'm just gonna go, sorry.
He is it, but what I will say about Prince, cultural icon. I believe
Absolutely.
the reason that so many things are accepted now. He was a peaceful man. He brought peace. He got people to accept other types of people. And listen, anytime you have one name, there's not many people that go by one name.
And we lost two of them in the last 2 days.
And at one point, the artist formerly known as Prince.
That was the best.
It was like, I don't just want to have a name anymore. I'm going to be the artist formerly known as
I heard there's a rumor that he left 20,000 songs in a vault.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
So that he wrote enough songs. There's enough songs for him to have released an album every year for like the next 100 years or something like that.
So on a cultural basis, I am touched by his death. From a singing perspective, you know, I'm not really a singing expert, so I was not really that up to date with his music.
Raspberry Beret?
I know that one, too.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe I know five of his songs. The point is he was a cultural icon.
Yes.
And
you're showing your respect.
Showing my respect with the Purple Nerds.
With the Purple Nerds and the Grape Slices. All right, so you're in on the trade. Your ideal scenario, our Ohio Business Machine hot topic of the day is now, what's your ideal scenario for the Browns at 8? Is it a player? Is it a trade back? And if it is a trade back, what are you hoping to target eventually and accomplish with that trade back?
I'm looking for receivers. I think, by the way, I'm going to skip around here a little bit. I'm all in on RG3. I heard that press conference yesterday, and his tone of voice, while he's always said the right things, but In my spare time, I'm a bit of a linguist, and his tone of voice was tremendous. It really led me to believe he's humbled, he wants to prove it, and it's not just words anymore. I am all in on him, so for that reason, go get him some receivers. And then if somehow we resurrect his career, imagine next year, if we're assuming we're in the top five again, we can go and trade for another Hall of Pass.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I can say, you know, being out of practice for the 30 minutes that we're out there. And this is Andrew Hawkins was not participating, and this is no knock in any way, shape, or form on Brian Hartline or Taylor Gabriel and the role they could potentially play for us. Our quarterbacks need weapons.
And lots of them.
And lots of them. And I even believe, and this is something we'll get into, you know, as we do more draft coverage next week, someone opposite Gary Barnage as well.
Oh, yeah.
It could be Randall Telfer. He may grow into that role, but he might be that bruiser.
He's the bruiser.
Okay, there you go. I want a 6'6", 235 to 40-pound former basketball player that can run a 4.6 40 and go high point of football that grows into Gary Barnage's role when his contract expires as a
athlete. Moves listen. Tight end, Jarrell Adams, South Carolina. Come on down, my friend.
Listen. I'll take him. Third round grade?
New
fourth
England,
round grade.
Second.
New
second
England
to third.
Has the best tight end in history of football, and they went out and got another one. You can never have too many weapons down the middle of the field.
No.
All right, so weapons. You stay at 8 or trade back and get
weapons? Trade back, get more picks.
Me too.
I think, and I said it as Al Saunders was here in the Dog Bowl. He put us both on the spot. You said trade back. He goes, no, you can't trade back. Who are you going to take? And I go, and you picked a player, right? You said DeForest Buckner. He goes, okay. And then he comes to me, and I go, we're in no man's land at 8, so I'm moving back. He's like, I think you can get the same player at 8 that you can at 14.
He's like, all right,
and he
goes, you trade
okay,
back.
Trade back.
He's like, you're the trade. I'm like, what do you mean? I tried to trade back.
Yeah, I know.
I said, I'm trying to trade back and get you a receiver out.
The only thing is there's got to be somebody that somebody wants to trade up for. The best case scenario would be if Zeke Elliott dropped.
Dolphins. And looking at, if I believe, and we talked about this week, if he gets past Dallas at 4,
if he gets past Dallas, he's
Elliott
coming.
Could drop.
The one wild card team, which Browns fans probably don't want to hear, is Baltimore. He's not going to Jacksonville.
Justin Forsett's a lean, skinny guy. It's a tough division.
But they have Terrence West and Trent Richardson now.
Come on.
Who else? So what's the consensus, like 3 through 8 players?
So the consensus 3 through 8 players right now, you've got
Buckner, Bosa,
Laramie Tunsil, Jalen Ramsey.
That's five.
Who'd you say? I missed one.
Buckner, Bosa, Ramsey, Tunsil.
Zeke. And then
Jack would be six.
Now, but he has the knee, so people don't know about his medical.
Let me just tell you something. I remember I may or may not have been at the window at that game when this guy came in and as a running back.
Yes.
It was the best running back on the field, the best linebacker on the field. I don't know if you can take a chance, but like that's the guy.
That's something that we wouldn't be privy to the knowledge on. Whatever the medicals are, they are.
Yeah,
we
I watched. It was Sal Pal, Jaworski, and Merrill Hodge last evening doing, you know, covering different, like, top position groups. They did their quarterback, of course. They did their wide receiver. And it was, like, Treadwell, Doxson, and then Fuller and Coleman. It was the big physical guys and the small burners was the two categories they had guys.
Get one of each.
But they, exactly. Yes. But they came back. They went out and came back with an entire segment on Miles Jack. The consensus by those three analysts, professionals, was he is a weak side linebacker in a 4-3. In all best cases, because that's the position that UCLA put him in consistently, and he was covering wide receivers at the college level. Can't happen, but running with Gronk and still being able to be physical fit the run. They showed him coming off the edge. I mean, I hate this when you pick a play to focus on TV on this guy's strength, and he goes unblocked. You know, a bad player makes a half-butt effort to try to block this guy, and he makes a tackle 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It's like, come on, give us something where it's like he uses his hands, he throws his helmet in there, something that you're going to see in the NFL.
Right.
And then he makes that great play.
Yeah.
But
he's tremendous.
He is tremendous. I love how fluid he is as a linebacker. Even more so, significantly more than another great player who's going to be a weak inside linebacker in the NFL, who is a Buckeye, Darren Lee. Miles Jack, Darren Lee, there is a large discrepancy from talent and fluidity from Miles Jack to Darren Lee. But Darren Lee's going to be
a very good player.
A 12 to 20 pick in this year's draft.
I just think that if the doctors give you the go-ahead and he's there at 8, he could end up being the best player in the whole draft.
That's totally going to be – that is going to be a medical evaluation.
And everyone's medicals are different.
We got the Cleveland Clinic here. We got to have the top doctors in the league.
We have University Hospitals.
University Hospitals here, sorry. University Hospitals is also one of the top hospitals in the world.
It's very good, yes.
Always have you been to Taco Bell lately?
It's fantastic. No,
I do have – is Jimmy John's a sponsor?
I don't think
Not
so.
Not yet.
Well, they should be
Talk
a sponsor.
And
But I'm going to give them some constructive criticism. I got a sandwich from there before because I was in a rush. They got to cut the sandwich in half. Very good sandwich. Never had it before. Good job, Mr. Jimmy John. But cut your sandwich in half next time.
You're saying it's too big? You want less portion? Or you want it slightly?
He said he can't handle 8 inches with both hands.
Cut it in half. I mean,
not much experience.
A sandwich needs to be chopped in half. It's all there is to it. I mean, it is.
You're more of a 6-inch guy. It's okay.
No, I like the big sandwich. Cut it in half.
Cut it in half. All right. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. The kid is back. I'm sure we'll get his take on the Cavaliers, who are looking good early, folks. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls, talk about what the Browns should do at number 8, less than a week away, finally, from this draft. And we'll talk about it. But I think there's a realistic scenario that could see the Browns trade back not once but twice within the first round, pick up some assets, and get the number one receiver on the board. I think that is something very, very possible. We'll also talk more about RG3. I know you're all in, and I had a little bit of an epiphany yesterday out there watching him in terms of what it means for the Browns. Am I saying he's the savior? No. Is it a sure thing? No.
I am.
I know you are. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. People were excited about that all day. But I do believe we will find out fully with full commitment from both him and this staff on whether or not he can play in the National Football League this season. And I think that will be an exciting thing for the Browns. All right. We'll come back with more CBD right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Purple rain.
Sing it, kid. That's the extent of my singing.
Well, you know what? I actually told my kids this morning on the way to school. Because my kids are way into music right now with everything on the radio. And I told them, I go, can you believe there was, and I told them about this artist and he only had one name and his name was Prince. Cause again, I call my daughter a princess like 100,000 times a day, you know? I'm like, but his name was Prince. And they're like, well, was he really a prince? And they're like, well, what does he look like? And I go, I don't know if you guys are going to be into how he looked though. You know, she's like, well, we got to see it. So, and as we found out yesterday, not a lot of it's readily available. So I just YouTubed while we were in the car line, the drop-off line, I just, you know, YouTubed the halftime performance of the in Miami, the Bears-Colts, and I just showed them, you know, with the big Prince-signed guitar. And they're like, why is his hair like that? And I'm like, you know what, I don't know. was like,
that's how he did
was
it.
The man.
He just that was Prince.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. And he got people to accept it. Everybody, you know, he was, you know, just brought the people together. He should have been running for president. I'd have voted for him.
He also was the inspiration for one of the great Charlie Murphy True Hollywood stories about the game blouses, the basketball, the pickup basketball game, and that Prince actually is a great basketball player.
I did read that.
Do you feel like
it's 5'3", though?
If Chappelle came back now after as good as Chappelle show was for, what, two seasons? 2 years, we'll say? Multiple seasons, but 2 years?
Yeah.
That if he came back now, it would have the following that it did? Or the demand that it had when he left?
He would get that first one. Everybody who ever watched Chappelle's show would watch it, and it would be
people like hilarious. Me. Like
it would spend on. Oh, God, it was the best.
I never watched it, but I like just when he went off was when I had heard about it. I was all excited about it, and then he goes. He
Clayton leaves. Bigsby, one of the great television characters of all time.
I definitely would watch if he came. I would love for him to come back. I would definitely watch it.
Oh yeah, I think it's got to be hard, though, to be that have that much creative genius for that long. Like, that's a lot of pressure. I think it was hard. And obviously, it did get to him, obviously, by the end of it. And that's why he took that little hiatus. All right, 216-578-0850. That's the way to call us up here. And really, for me, one thing I want to say, this is what I want to say about RG3. When you watch him on the field, okay, for all the people that wanted Carson Wentz, this is what I want you to ponder. And you don't have to ultimately agree with what I say, but this is what I'd want you to ponder. You want Carson Wentz. Why? Because he has unbelievable physical traits. Size, the arm, he's mobile, all that. But physical traits. He's got physical gifts, right?
RG3?
No, I'm talking about Carson Wentz right now.
Sure.
That's why people like him. Physical gifts. He's played 2 years at the FCS level. He's a project, though. I don't think there's anybody that would deny the fact that RG3 has tremendous physical gifts. And it's apparent when you're out there.
He's got way more physical gifts
RG3's
than Wentz.
Ripped as a quarterback in the NFL, and there's probably maybe three others, Colin Kaepernick being one, maybe three others that have the physique or in the physical condition that RG3 is in.
Yes, and he's got the speed, and he's got a very strong arm, surprisingly strong arm. He has all the physical gifts. He is also, I would argue at this point, a project. The offense that he ran his first year at Washington does not work in the NFL anymore. He's got to be able to figure out if he can win from the pocket at this level. So you have two guys with great physical gifts. If you stayed at number two, you draft Carson Wentz. You have both of them here. So that increases your chance that one of them pans out, right? But by going with RG3 as I'm looking at him as the rookie quarterback this year, you've got a guy who has been successful in this league, who's got just as many and more physical gifts. I mean, not a single scout would have taken Carson Wentz over RG3 coming out of college. He's got the commitment with Tom House. He said yesterday, what's the most important thing he said yesterday was that being good as a quarterback in the NFL is a lifestyle, and I'm diving into that lifestyle, and I'm going to live it, breathe it,
and
sleep,
he never
and eat
felt
it every
like,
day.
And that's a new thing. When
that's
he
a
first
new thing.
Came out, he was into the marketing. He was into the sayings and this and that. That's the first time that I really believed him when he said that.
So you have a guy with unbelievable physical gifts who's fully committed because he knows this is really his last chance in the NFL. You've got a head coach who is tremendous with quarterbacks and has gotten success out of them everywhere. You've got an offense coordinator, Pep Hamilton, who's worked with quarterbacks and is very, very good with them as well. So when you already have that guy with the physical gifts. He's here, and now because you didn't take Carson Wentz, you're going to get two first-round players, a second-round player, and a third-round player instead.
And also, Carson Wentz, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the backup quarterback on Carson Wentz's team was undefeated also last year. Let's not get so carried away with this guy was a winner in FCS. And his team was way better than anyone they played.
And mentioned Gribble's note yesterday, or was it yesterday or the day before? Is it Lindy's, the magazine? I think it's Lindy's, right?
Put that
on the cover of their draft magazine, put a picture of the other quarterback at North Dakota State on the cover of their magazine, not Carson Wentz.
As a mistake? Or they
as a mistake. Yeah. As a mistake. Okay, but I meant...
This guy is a little bit of a marketing campaign. I mean, he might end up being good. God bless him. I hope he does.
Right.
But this guy was a second-round projection, and then he didn't play for 7 weeks.
But I'm just
he played one half of a game, and he looked okay. And now all of a sudden, he's the number two pick in the draft. I think who wants Carson Wentz? Nobody wants Carson Wentz.
Obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well,
do.
They're stupid. They
this is. But let's forget what other people think of him. Let's just say, look at it as just a real evaluation. I think you have a hard time making the case, anybody would, that they are more confident about Carson Wentz versus RG3.
Of course they can't make that case. That's ridiculous.
Okay, so given that, wouldn't you you have RG3 here. Now you're going to have RG3 and four players
To
help your football team.
And
is there people that, wait, let me ask you a question. Is there people that don't like this trade for the Browns? Assuming Goff goes one?
Yes.
Assuming Goff goes one. People don't like they wanted him to take Carson Wentz.
Grossi, who thought Grossi, who felt that there was no comparison between Goff and Wentz, he and I at least agreed on that, still thinks they should have taken a quarterback just because they should have taken a quarterback.
Well, guys, the thought is, in Grossi's defense, taking a quarterback, if you fail with the quarterback, okay, then you go next year and you go get another one.
But why isn't RG3 that quarterback this year?
So you try RG3 for this year and then go for your quarterback next year.
Right.
Because the reality is nobody gives up on a rookie quarterback after 1 year. If Wentz came in and he stunk.
And there's no guarantee Wentz would even be starting initially. He's the project guy.
Right. So
he's drafted to a team that has Chase Daniel and Sam Bradford right now for a reason.
There's no way they draft Wentz this year and then they have the number one pick next year and they draft a quarterback again. It's just not going to happen. Conversely, if RG3 stinks this year, they will go get a quarterback next year. So nothing against any of the people, but some of the local people. I also heard somebody on local radio ask a rhetorical question saying, do you think the Patriots and the Ravens look at draft charts? Yes, sir. I do think the Ravens and the Patriots look at draft charts. They probably invented the draft charts.
Bill Belichick and that guy.
I mean, that guy.
That guy
that
we saw, their director of football research. I showed the picture to Wilhelm. That guy has his own trade value chart that they have used. That's why they traded Richard Seymour while he was still a good player for a first-round pick. That's why they traded Deion Branch for a first-round pick.
They do it all the time.
They've traded down more than any team in the history of the NFL.
Of course they have. And so some of these local people really got to do a little bit of research.
And I know we've got callers. We'll grab them after the break. But the one thing, going back to yesterday's press conference with Sashi Brown, as he was, you know, bombarded with questions, some of them phrased differently, ultimately asking the same question over and over again, and different references to this being a strong quarterback class and years in the future not being strong quarterback classes. Okay, raise your hand, I guess if you're a fan out there in your car at your work listening to this show, raise your hand if prior to June of 2015 you've heard of Paxton Lynch.
No way.
Raise your hand if you've heard in June of 2015 if you've heard of Carson Wentz.
No way.
And in some cases, unless you live west of the Mississippi, raise your hand if you were in tune to how good or bad Jared Goff really was.
No chance.
Okay, so in 2017 and 2018,
yes,
there are guys that are playing at schools right now that will play their way into a top five pick.
Absolutely.
And those could be in play for the Cleveland Browns or someone else. So to say that they're weak or strong right now, edify Sashi Brown over and over and over again, I don't know.
Yes, you need to look at it and have an idea, but nobody knows. Just
every
like
year,
Matt Barkley was going to go number one overall. Matt Leinart was going to go number one overall. Christian Hackenberg, after his freshman year at Penn State, was definitely going number one overall whenever
and
he
came
out.
And by the way, maybe one of these other guys, Hugh Jackson, I think you said it on Twitter, maybe Hugh Jackson likes one of these guys a little bit further down.
RG3 is also only a couple years older than Wentz. He's 26. Wentz is 23. Goff is 21. That's a five-year difference. That's a full contract for a first-round pick. Okay. To your point, if RG3 isn't good, you could go ahead and get a quarterback next year.
Absolutely.
If you drafted Wentz, you're probably not playing him this year. You're not. If he's not good, you're not looking at a quarterback again. I'm all for going for it. I was all for drafting Goff. I'm not against. I think quarterback's the most important position in the league by 1,000,000,000%. That's why I would have traded the whole farm for Andrew Luck.
Yes.
But given the state of what was there, I think that they made the sound decision, and your roll the dice this year is RG3. That is who I'm looking at as the rookie quarterback. Now, it's very possible they may take one later on as well.
And I think we got to go to break, so I'll tease this. I'll tell you what when we come back. It's a genius move, and why it just pushes off 1 year a very important decision.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. What would happen if you got
All right, Gibbs, before we move on to our next topic, by the way, we're back on CBD.
On Earth Day.
On Earth Day, on Prince Day, on China Day.
I'm going to go cut Gibbs, down some trees.
Do you have a rebuttal from you were taking the point of Tony Grossi?
No,
did you have a rebuttal for that?
As I told you during the break, it has not – I was taking – I know where Grossi's coming from with what he's saying. But it doesn't have anything – like, I agree with you guys. I think they should have made the trade. They got a king's ransom back. You're putting all your faith in RG3. Let's hope he can stay healthy.
Would you rather go to dinner with Wilhelm or Grossi?
I'd like to go to dinner with both of them.
That is such a good answer. That's why you're the best.
That's a non-answer.
He can run for president.
Why
too.
Are you putting me on the
– No, no, no. Don't let him do it to you, Gibbsy. Come on.
Everybody's
stand
like,
strong. Stand
do you
strong.
Wanna, do you want to be – Are you more with me or are you more with him? You sound like my ex-wife.
Put the pressure put the pressure back on the kid. Would you rather go to dinner with Wilhelm or the kid?
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
Let's
is
go.
The answer. Nice.
Do you want him invited to our CBD dinner?
My butt's
if he
not
comes,
get
he'd
hurt.
Have to come on the show first, and then he could come.
Who?
Grossi to our CBD dinner.
We'll have a love seat for you two to sit on at the dinner table.
I'll bring Cleve TA with me.
Tony Grossi's a good man.
He is a good man.
He listens to this show.
I don't think so.
I know so.
I don't think so. All right. Let's go to the phone lines. 216-578-0850 here. Stan, how are you?
Are you out there, Stan?
Stan.
Did he hang up?
He did after that rousing introduction from
my
Nate.
My tears gone cold. I'm wondering why.
I wonder if Cam from Canada is going to call today.
You would think he would. All right, let's go to Bo in Georgia. Bo, welcome.
Howdy, guys. I'm all in love with the trading back draft deal, and I'd like to do it again, maybe with the Jets if they need Paxton Lynch bad enough, or Miami if they want Zeke if he's available.
Yep.
And I suggest if we do trade back there, I agree with you that we should get a wide receiver, and the rest of the three of the four picks should be offensive linemen so we can keep RG3 healthy. I got some messed up sort of situation. I just can't stand it when the Cleveland Browns in the stadium – their fans cheer when Derek Anderson got injured and
that was not great.
I'm just wondering, you know, it's a team spirit thing, and
it is. I think people
the frustration level,
and also everybody's favorite player is the backup quarterback, so at that point people were looking for the backup. I didn't like that. I think they did it with Tim Couch as well.
Yeah, they did it with Tim Couch, by the way, and I think I told you this a couple weeks ago. If Tim Couch would have played behind an offensive line, Tim Couch could have been a good quarterback. He wasn't as big a bust as everyone makes him out to be.
Would you say Tim Couch playing behind last year's offensive line?
The line that was the greatest line ever that gave up the most hits in the NFL, quarterback hits allowed, and the second most sacks in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, did they really? I didn't know that. That's why I asked.
Touché!
Five guys we can't live without, right?
This is Friday Fire featuring Matt Wilhelm. Wilhelm, pick up the mic near your bobblehead and drop it. Mic
bang.
Drop.
You know what that
boom.
Sound was? A
mic
drop. Being dropped.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All right. We'll go back to the phone lines. 216-578-0850. Alex in North Carolina. Alex, welcome.
Hello there.
How you doing, man?
Doing all right. I'd like to talk about what I think the Browns need. I'm going to go back to the 2002 National Championship game. We had a linebacker. Number 35, I want to say, Willis McGahee, he went down and he stomped on the guy's calf. I mean, it was adamant. And we need somebody with that
who,
kind of
who
fire.
Who would that have been?
Who
bought into such dirty tactics?
If you have an opportunity to go on ESPN Classic, I think you can see that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what we need. Trade. We say where we are. If we see somebody who, you know, who's got some fire, I think.
Fire!
Yeah, we do have some fire, and certainly.
Maybe, Zeke racing Hell Elliott or Miles Jackhammer, you know, either one of the two. I'm up for it.
All right, we're gonna get you on the line to come up with some nicknames after the draft.
Yes, Marte Mauton, Alabama. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, man?
Good, man.
First time caller. Appreciate your show.
Great, man. Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, I just have a couple comments, Nate. I just want to agree with you with the RG3 thing. I wasn't really crazy about it, but the more I think about it, it's kind of like us getting the first rounder this year. With NFL experience, I thought that was good. Yeah. Secondly, I really agreed with the pick, the going down for the multiple picks. I just want to ask, Matt could probably speak to this more. What I think we're lacking with the last caller was talking about is that alpha male on defense, and I'm just wondering if Miles Jack is not that guy. And lastly, I'll say this and just hang up to listen, but Sashi said something in his interview that I can't quote him, but it kind of made me feel like he felt like the player they originally wanted was still going to be at eight, maybe.
I think so, Sashi's just playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers, and he's just throwing everything out there so nobody knows what direction we're really looking at.
I think, and the other reason eight is the good spot is because I think you've got Miami wanting to come up for Ezekiel Elliott. I think I've seen some mock drafts now, and I think you have too, where Tunsil and Stanley are both going in the top seven.
Yep.
That could prompt Tennessee to come up and get Conklin at eight,
yep,
being the best tackle left on the board at that spot.
And you continue to have the Bills and Jets in need of a quarterback. You know, if you go 8-13,
someone's going
to
come up.
Bills want to go get to 13 to guarantee Paxton Lynch.
Someone's going to come up for a third quarterback. It always happens. The third quarterback is always way overdrafted. And even if I hope it's not us at eight. The third quarterback is really, I think the percentage of those hitting the third guy drafted has not been good. And I really hope we're not going to be taking a quarterback at eight.
If we do take a defender somewhere high this year,
yep,
okay, either at eight or 32, it can come along the defensive line, but that guy's going to have to be a total
game changer.
You know, game changer, right?
I mean,
but if it is, yep, if it does come at outside linebacker, inside linebacker, if it's Jalen Ramsey, wherever it is, he talks about that alpha. And this is where Andrew Berry, Sashi Brown, and their army of people, it's not so much Paul D. Podesta from an analytics standpoint, getting this man in the room, you can feel or hear the alpha in a player who's under a lot of pressure to impress in 15 minutes at the combine or the hour that you have with a team on a visit. You can feel that from a player and know it's in there and draft that guy because you're not going to see it. And it's not going to be felt in the locker room because this is 21-year-old first-round rookie. You've got to show me first that you can prove it. But this is 2 years down the road when you would hope with the accumulation of picks and the way we're approaching accumulating young talent, and that becomes our nucleus, as Sashi Brown has said, 2018 is when that alpha comes out in that player and becomes the cornerstone of our defense, that free agents want to come play here, not only with Hugh Jackson, for Sashi Brown, for Jimmy Haslam, but with that player on the defensive side of the football. The Von Miller, the J.J. Watt, the Luke Kuechly, they're like a magnet. You know, alphas want to come play with other alphas, and that's why LeBron, in some cases, you know, wants Kyrie and Love or went to go play with Bosh and Wade. It's you feed off each other. And championships and great things are happening right in front of you.
Don't you think you get that also from talking to the college coaches? Because that might be something the coaches that have spent 4 years where you can say,
and
listen,
his teammates.
This is the guy. This is the reason that, you know, that you need this.
Because there are great players that are just they go out. They show up when they're supposed to. I mean, I think Joe Thomas is an example. You know, when we want to talk about leader, he's a leader by example. He doesn't miss plays. He shows up on time. He's probably never missed a meeting. And he goes out and plays at a Pro Bowl level. But he's not the guy banging his hand on the table, standing on top of it, getting guys amped up, ready to play.
Seems like
there are guys that are both.
I want those guys.
Right?
I don't think he's a player on the level of those other guys that you were talking about, clearly. But I think he's got some of those leadership characteristics. That's DeMario Davis, just from watching him out on the field the last few days. And he's somebody that's going to try to bring that physicality to the team. But you need to get some of those guys. You need
one of those guys to be a star player.
Star player. Yes,
and
that's the key.
And when you draft that guy, guess what that alpha does to the other guys in his draft class who he's going to play with for the next 3 years?
Bring him up.
They're going to all rally behind him. Just the same way that the defense might rally behind like a guy like DeMario Davis, who once he proves his value when the pads come on and he's thumping and he's backing up, you know, what he's talking about, that alpha in this class will, if there's no other alpha potentially in this draft class but just great players, three of them become alphas by being in that class because you're so tight and you're so woven in and integrated, you know, as the 2016 draft class, that it's just a matter of time before everyone goes, I'm following that leader, and I want to become like him.
Well, because you talked about a lot in your time in San Diego. It wasn't LaDainian.
No.
It wasn't Gates.
LaDainian was the Joe Thomas.
Uh-huh.
Always on time, a pro's pro, working extremely hard at a high level. It wasn't banging his, you know, it was different. It was other guys.
Phil Rivers?
Nah, not so much. Phil Rivers, you just knew the competitive juices that like flowed through his body would come out on a Sunday.
He's got to be pretty excited that he's getting a left tackle at that spot.
Well, we'll find out at 2 o'clock when we talk to Kevin Acey.
Oh, I thought it was the next segment. I thought it was the greatest tease of my life.
Good try, kid. All right, we'll be back with more CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Dakon, Jason Gibbs, 216-578-0850. Let's go to our guy Phil in Brecksville. Phil, welcome.
Guys, look, you know, I'm just a bitter Browns fan here. And Matt, you played football. It's your life. Nathan, it is your life now. But from what I see here, I just don't know where you guys are getting so positive on this whole thing. Look,
would you rather live in a negative world? Because I
wouldn't. No, Matt, wait a second. Let me finish. Look, Sacha Brown, I could have almost accepted it yesterday if he had said that one of those quarterbacks, wasn't the guy. First of all, you know, I don't understand it. Was it our scouting department that you guys feel so comfortable about? That's not it. We just let six go. Is it our Ron Wolf disciple running the 53-man roster? That's not it. Because we got a guy that's never run a 53-man. Is it, what is it? Okay. Is it their history? Is it the history of getting away top draft picks for multiple picks that makes you guys think this is going to work? I just don't get where you guys are so positive when I don't see anything that's positive.
Okay,
they should have taken a quarterback this year, and then they should have taken one again next year.
But nobody does that. No, I mean, you say that, but nobody gives up on a quarterback after 1 year. It just doesn't happen. So to sit there, like, it sounds good and it's a good soundbite, but it doesn't happen like that. Secondly, trading down historically, if you look at it, 95% of the time is the right thing to do.
Where?
Look at the history. Go to NFL.com right now and read the article that they wrote, David, about the history of trading up for a quarterback in the top five.
Give me one. Give me one where it was a multiple trades and the one and two picks that someone gave for five.
Herschel Walker. Williams. Are you old enough to know the Herschel Walker trade?
I sure am, yeah.
Okay,
sure
so
am.
What happened there?
There was one. Okay.
Okay, there's one that got three Super Bowl titles.
All right,
New England trades down more than any team out there. Baltimore Ravens stockpile picks.
They have to trade that way.
What?
They have to trade that way.
Why do they have to trade that way?
Why?
Because they're never at the top. They have to bring in the players. They have a franchise.
The Patriots trading down, not up. Patriots never trade up.
What's that article? Give them a link. Do the guy a favor and tweet out the link.
I mean, do you think Washington is ultimately happy with the RG3 trade? No. He's here now. He's not with Washington, and they gave up three ones in that deal. It has not historically been successful, and there are multiple.
I would tell you, I'm a frustrated Browns fan also.
Yes.
But it's much more fun to drink the Kool-Aid than sit there. You sounded like you have a frown on your face. Your arms are crossed like me on the golf course. Take some fresh air in. Enjoy the day and look forward to the Browns.
All right, so here is the article from NFL.com. Trading up to draft quarterbacks has not worked well for teams. Here is the history. Trading up in the first round to select a quarterback in the last 10 drafts. 2014, Cleveland Browns, Johnny Manziel. 2014, Vikings, Teddy Bridgewater.
Good. Jury out.
2012, Redskins, Robert Griffin III. 2011, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blaine Gabbert. 2010, Denver Broncos, Tim Tebow. 2009, Jets, Mark Sanchez. 2009, Buccaneers, Josh Freeman.
Can we get this guy back on the phone?
Well, we're giving him what he wants there. Now, a successful one, 2008, Ravens up for Joe Flacco. 2007, Browns, Brady Quinn.
So there's one.
Flacco.
That's it.
And perhaps Teddy. But Teddy's move, that was like a small move. That was pick 32.
Yes. Yeah. And other trade-ups, like everybody wants to say the Julio Jones trade was such a great trade for Atlanta because the Browns got nothing. We wasted all those picks, but I will still tell you, The Browns won that trade. They just screwed it up.
In the 2014 draft, had the Browns executed properly, as I've said, and we went through the whole exercise, the Browns could have easily come away from that particular draft with the following haul, and this is pretty easy to imagine it happening. You traded back to not from 4 to 9. At number 9, you take Odell Beckham. At number 26, you don't need to trade back up to 22, which means you keep that second rounder. At 26, you take Derek Carr or Teddy Bridgewater. Okay? 35, you can stick with Betonio. He's been a good pro. Then with that second round pick, you would have been ahead of where Jacksonville came back in to get Allen Robinson. If you executed on those four picks, you could have had Allen Robinson at one receiver, Odell Beckham at the other, Teddy Bridgewater or Derek Carr at quarterback, and been a completely different organization than you are currently.
So that trade was a great trade.
The execution of it was poor. The key is for Sashi Brown to execute. And of course, he's not going to come out and reveal a strategy. Why do I have confidence? I know Sashi. I know the reason that Sashi Brown has the job Sashi Brown has is because over the last couple of seasons, he told Jimmy Haslam what decisions he agreed with, what decisions he didn't agree with. And history has shown that Sashi Brown was right quite often. And I have a lot of confidence in Andrew Berry. I have a lot of confidence in Paul DePodesta and his ability to go through, filter information. Kevin Kovash, Kevin Mears, these are very intelligent people that will lead the Browns to making smart decisions. At the end of the day, the success and longevity of them will be determined based on their ability to draft effectively. I also am confident because I believe Hugh Jackson is the best head coach that the Cleveland Browns have had, and I don't even know how long, perhaps since Bill himself.
Let me ask you a question. Because I hear this all the time, like criticism that we have Harvard people. Like in any walk of life, anybody that you know or I know that made it to Harvard, don't you think typically they were pretty smart?
Obviously.
So then why are people against having, what walk of life is it bad to be smart?
Because I think, and I don't know if you agree with this, Wilhelm, there is a bias against that because they are not traditional football people.
I think in 5 years, I'm going to say there's at least 5 NFL teams that are probably doing exactly what the Browns are doing.
The Patriots have been doing it
for
years.
I know that. But I meant like an analytical, brainiac type of guy, which we'll call Sashi Brown, will be the man, the general manager, the EVP, for 5 teams, not a general manager with a significant analytical department.
You believe in 5 years there will be at least 5 teams that are run by non-traditional football guys.
Correct.
I agree with that.
But I will say a lot of it, those guys got to be standing on the sidelines cheerleading for Sashi.
And football guys are rooting against
it. Of course they are. And a lot of times when things are new, people say, oh, this is the worst thing. It's never going to work. That's the way change happens. And then you look back on it, and those people are awful silent when it works.
Yes, they
were. Harriet Tubman's going to be on the $20 bill.
Love it.
Okay? Need I say more?
I love it.
All right, when we come back, Kevin Acey from San Diego, the Union Tribune. He will talk to us about what he believes is going to happen with the Chargers at pick 3. An interesting pick. I believe if they take Tunsil at 3, as many expect, it could move another tackle up. And Jack Conklin, one of the fastest risers around the draft, could be in play as a trade target for people looking to come to number 8 with the Cleveland Browns. That's up next on CBD.